Psalm 19:14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of 3 John, verse 11. 3 John, verse 11. A magnificent verse of Scripture. You see it on the back of today's bulletin. You see it on the screen. And I trust you'll turn to it in your Bible. 3 John, verse 11. Which says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. And we referred to that in the first session. We'll be looking at that passage exegetically in just a few moments. May we bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're your children, saved by your grace, not because we deserve to be, but because we've accepted that magnificent gift, the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, which reveals to us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he was willing to leave heaven's glory as deity too and become the God-man, God in the flesh, the incarnate one. We're thankful that he was willing to live those 33 years without sin, though tempted in all points as we are, willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, and is now making intercession for us. We rejoice in the fact that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. And we thank you for every blessing. In these moments of study, we pray that we will have a desire to receive that which will help us to be victorious and triumphant and the kind of winners that we ought to be while we're here on the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take a look at the timeline, seeing the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the age of intercalation, the church age, seeing the time of the rapture, the tribulation, toward the end of that tribulation time, you'll remember that there is, of course, an emphasis on the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. All these things that you and I are familiar with because we've studied it over the years. There is then the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of the millennium for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, Satan is loose for a period of time, a season. There's a Gog-Magog revolution, the great white throne judgment, and eternity. I said all that to say to you right now, you and I understand the first advent and the second advent. I've just given you a picture, and I trust that in your mind while I was giving it, you were able to follow along in your thinking because I gave you a quick rundown of the timeline. But I want you to see two things in the light of what I've just said. The first advent simply means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Christ, became the existent Christ, God in the flesh, God on the earth, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first advent, the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of sin. At the end of the tribulation, and at the time of the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of evil. Now, I realize that I've said that rapidly, and perhaps some of you got it, maybe some of you didn't get it. I will say it again, only in a very simple fashion. At the first advent, Jesus Christ took care of sin. At the second advent, Jesus Christ takes care of evil. And the more you think about that, the more fantastic it will become in your thinking. On the screen now you see 3 John verse 11, which says, "Beloved, follow not the evil, but the good. The one doing good out of God is out of a God. The one doing evil hath not seen God." And I referred to this in the first session. We'll come back and we'll exegete in a few moments and do some explaining. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and the integrity of God. If you already have this down, fine. If you don't, I would encourage you to take it down. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. You may wonder about yourself in relationship to sin, because all of us are guilty of disobedience. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and the integrity of God. We have an emphasis here upon the fact that you and I sin in different ways. We disobey God mentally. We disobey God verbally. And we disobey God overtly. I'm not going to go into this in detail again now. I just want you to see that sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. I switch past number 2 to go to number 3 to talk about evil. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. It would be encouraging to you to write this somewhere if you cannot memorize it and keep it in memory. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. When you and I find ourselves disobeying God, it's possible for us, while we're not in harmony with the Lord, to do good. But the word good there is not agathos. It is the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And sometimes it is poneros. And poneros is the word from which you get the English word pornography. It's the word that's translated evil. So let's look at the two things. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. It is possible for us to do good, human good, while we're out of fellowship. So I'm repeating the first 3 points here. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. Human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. Now you have all 3. You have sin emphasized in point 1 here. You have evil presented in point 3. And human good in point 2. Human good, energy of the flesh activity, is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. when you and I are not in fellowship with our Lord, we can do good things. And when we're doing good things out of fellowship, it's human good. Point four, sin and human good are not necessarily evil, but evil always includes sin and human good. That may sound like a twist, but you'll analyze it and it'll make sense to you. Sin and human good are not necessarily evil, but evil always includes sin and human good. Number five, sin and human good are human actions. But evil is a matter of thinking. I asked someone the other day if they understood the difference between sin and evil. And they sat there and thought about it for a moment and gave a good answer. The response was, evil is the way one thinks. Sin and human good are human actions. But evil is a manner of thinking, a way of life, and the modus operandi of the devil's world. You and I are going to be captivated on a daily basis with satanic thinking. And when we allow our sinful nature and satanic thinking to rule us, it doesn't matter how much good we do, it'll be human good when we're not in harmony with the Lord. Jesus Christ, point six, died to take away sin. But He did not die for evil or human good. And a lot of people don't understand that statement at all. But the more you understand God's Word, the better you're able to comprehend the statement that is just being made in point six. Jesus Christ died to take away sin. He did not die for evil or human good. You can get on your knees and pray till you're blue in the face, asking God to take care of and take away your evil, and it will not be done. The only way that evil will be taken care of is for there to be a different type of thinking, a different type of thinking to take over in your life and mine. It has to be God's thinking, vertical thinking, not human thinking, not horizontal thinking. Jesus Christ died to take away sin. But He did not die for evil or human good. As you can see, point two, human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I could stay here all day, but I've got to get to our verse. You can see it on the back of your bulletin today, 3 John, verse 11. Please just allow me to share with you how beautiful this scripture is. It says, beloved. I like that word, beloved. It's the Greek word agapethe. It is the word which simply means objects of my love. Beloved ones. How beautiful. The Apostle John is the writer, human writer, of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. He's the human author. God the Holy Spirit is the author. Beloved ones, follow not the evil. I want you to see, please, how the verb is used. It's a present middle imperative verb. What does that mean? Present tense means continuous action. Middle voice simply means that the subject participates in the action. And if it's positive, the subject will be benefited. If it's negative, the subject will not be benefited. And then the imperative verb is a verb of command. You see why I put this down for you? P-M-I-M-P. You see the reason I put this down for you? Because I want you to see it's to our advantage not to follow evil. It's to our disadvantage to follow evil. It is not to our advantage to follow evil. That's the reason why it's a middle voice. Okay, Now, do any of you, please don't answer me out loud, do any of you know what the word follow here is? Well, I can tell you that here it is, M-I-M-O-U, my move. Over here, the verb is mameomai. It comes from the Greek word, which you and I will know, which is the word mime. Mime. You know what a mime is? Sure. So here's the word that's given to us. Don't be a mime, don't be an imitator of evil. Beloved ones, do not follow the evil. Then you have again that conjunction of contrast, Allah, A-L-L-A. But the good, we've already studied that in the previous service. Here we see it again. All through the scripture you'll see the difference between the word kakos or kakon, if it's in the accusative singular, or panaros. Here it is, don't follow the kakon, accusative singular. Don't follow the evil, but conjunction of contrast, the good, God's good, the good that's intrinsic, of intrinsic value. And then I've got to tell you something. Oh my, I learned this so many years ago. One of the Greek words I learned years ago, Michael, is poeo. 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 Which means to do. Now, what I've found is that sometimes the word poeo is used with other words. You'll have them together. Oh, now, let's look at it. Here's the word poeo. P-O-I-O-N, which is the word poeo. And here's a word that comes from this one up here, agathos, A-G-A-T-H, and then the nominative suffix is O-S. Isn't it something to see how the Lord puts this together? And he says, if you're doing good, God's good, that's okay. If you're not doing God's good, it's not okay. I'm trying to put this just as simply as I can. Not that I think you're simple, but it is the fact that I believe that if I say it this way, it'll be easier for you to remember it. Poeo means to do. Agathos means good. And so the two are put together. The one in the process of doing good. The one doing good, what does it say? Is out from the source of God. Or the one doing good is of God. There's your verb of being, is of God. Okay, now did I tell you that the word kakos is the word for bad, evil? Yes, but let's take it and put poeo on it. And P-O-I-E-O and K-A-K-O-S, knock off the S, put them together, and there you have doing bad, doing evil. Isn't that interesting to see how this is worded? Now we go back up here and this says, beloved ones, follow not. You have a choice. Did I tell you in the first service today that there are negative adverbs? Uk, may. And normally may goes with a verb in the subjunctive mood. But here it's in the imperative mood, like in the previous passage we studied. Beloved ones, follow not the evil. It's a command. You'll not be benefited if you do. But do the good things. Follow that which is God's value, intrinsic good, vertical good. Because it says, the one doing good is of God. And then it goes on to say, the one doing evil hath not really been able to take a long, hard, good look at what God's all about. Doesn't say not saved. Doesn't say hasn't been born into God's kingdom. But the Greek word is horao, from which we get our English word horizon. And it says, you who are following satanic thoughts on a continual basis, day after day, week after week, moment after moment, you really haven't taken a good long look at what God's really like. Do you see that? You don't know what God is like if you find yourself continually submitting yourselves to the control of your old sinful nature and being under satanic thinking. I don't know about you, but I think that's good preaching. Oh boy. Because, you know why? Not because of what I'm saying. It's because of what God says. This is so fantastic. Let's look at it again. Beloved ones, and that's what I can say to you. It's amazing to me. This last week we had the funeral service of Cliff Rowe. Cliff Rowe has been our friend for many, many years. We have a church directory back in 1987. And at that time, I pastored two churches, Fairmont Community Church and this church. And we had a directory that you look at it this way, and it's Grace Bible Church. You turn it over and look at it the other way, and it's Fairmont Community Church. Well, on this side, at Grace Bible Church, 1987, there's a picture of Cliff Rowe and his wife, Lil, and their daughter and their granddaughter. And so I was able to go to the funeral service with this directory and show them. And then Joyce is going through a lot of things. We're getting rid of a lot of things. And she found in 1979 where Lil had written a beautiful poem about God. And it was just fantastic. This little baby, that granddaughter, now is about 26 or 27 years of age. What I've been able to see is, over the years, God's goodness, God's grace. And what I say to you now is what I've been saying for years. Agapete, beloved ones. Just as I said in relationship to Cliff Rowe, beloved one, to Lil, beloved one, to you. John is saying to us, I want you to know that you're objects of my love. You're objects of my love. The greatest thing that a preacher can do is to realize that the congregation is made up of individuals who are objects of his love. Beautiful. Just beautiful. And what can I do for you? I can love you. How can I love you? By telling you what God's plan is for my life and your life so that we will not follow evil but follow the good. And what God's plan is for me to tell you is we need to have a long look. Hora'o. A long look, horizon. Take a look at it. See what God's like. Study God's Word. Begin at the beginning. Go all the way. Do it. Study what God has to say. And really realize how fantastic God's plan is. Okay. A few notes. Both sin and evil have their sources in Satan. Both sin and evil have their sources in Satan, but have different sources in your soul. The source of temptation is the old sin nature. The source of sin is your volition. But the source of evil is your thinking. The source of evil is the thinking. It's the rejection of God's thinking. It's accepting the thinking of Satan. Now, you want to really put that down and chew on it for a long time. Sin and evil have their sources in Satan, but have different sources in your soul and mind. The source of temptation is the old sinful nature. The source of sin is our volition. But the source of evil is a continual rejection of the thinking of God. All right, let's draw a circle. Let's put you in that circle. And let's say that you're in this circle, and that means that you're in harmony with the Lord. And here comes a temptation. All of us have temptations. You're inside the circle. You're right with God. Here comes a temptation. You see that temptation. The temptation is really tempting. It's alluring. It's fascinating. It is whatever words you want to use. It looks good. But you're still in harmony. You're still in fellowship. You're still inside that circle of God's love design. But all of a sudden, you say, I think I'm going to make a decision to yield myself to that temptation. And when you do that, at that moment, that split second, you're out of fellowship because you've moved outside of the harmony of relationship to the Lord. And now you're under the control of your old sinful nature. I cannot make it any plainer than that. Sin and evil have their sources in Satan, but have different sources in the soul. The source of temptation is the old sin nature, but the source of sin is volition. The source of evil, though, is continual rejection of the thinking of God and accepting the thinking of Satan. A mature believer, one residing inside that power sphere which is divine, can know the difference between the brilliance of Satan and the manifestation of God's love and grace only by the Bible. If you are ever planning on having a victorious life, a triumphant life, you're going to have to do what I'm telling you right now that we all have to do, and the only insulation we have is the truth of God's Word. We must find ourselves bathed, saturated, engulfed with the thinking of the Lord. Because if we do not have His thinking, the only other thinking there's going to be is the wrong kind of thinking, which is satanic thinking. I jotted myself some verses. Proverbs 11:18 and 19. The evil person earns some wages. He earns the wages of deception. But to the one who resides in God's power, there's going to be continual reward. That's Proverbs 11:18 and 19. Let me read what it says, really. It says, a perceptive life leads to a happy, abundant life. If you want to have a happy, abundant life, you have to understand the difference between satanic thinking and God's thinking. And determine over here that you're going to allow God's thinking to captivate you and me. Evil is pursuing. And evil will eventually, if we're not careful, lead us all the way to the sin and to death. Proverbs 14:22. Will they not go astray who devise evil? But grace and truth, that's God's message, shall be to them that device of good, God's good. Proverbs 14:22. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Whoop. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's omnipresence. Beholding, that's omniscience, the evil and the good. That's Proverbs 15:3. What does that tell me? That tells me that God's forever looking at me. Watch out. God's eyes are upon me. Every place, omnipresence. Understanding, omniscience. The evil and the good. That's Proverbs 15:3. Proverbs 22:3. A wise believer sees evil and runs like the devil. No, I didn't. I just, that's right. That's my translation. The wise believer sees the evil and hides himself. That takes I'm now more sophisticated. But the simple, the ignorant, the stupid, goes into the evil and would be punished thereby. I didn't write this, folks. I'm reading it. Proverbs 22:3. Write it down, please. A wise believer, that's a person residing in the truth, sees evil and hides himself. But the simple, now I put in parentheses, not to offend anyone, ignorant or stupid, goes into the evil and is punished thereby. Someone said, you know, there's a day for everything. But the atheist said, we don't have a day for ourselves. What's wrong? And the guy said, I'll tell you what, you do already have a day. Because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So it's Fool's Day. Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time for the days are evil. And Romans 12:21. Be not conquered, overcome by evil, but conquer, overcome evil by the absolute good. We've already studied that verse. How fantastic is this? Beloved ones, don't follow the evil. It's to your disadvantage to do it. But follow the good. Because you see, the one doing good is related property to God. But the one doing evil doesn't really understand or have a long look, a horizon look of God. It's time to go. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonderful Word of God that makes it possible for us to have joy and peace and contentment and victory. And we realize that each person sitting in this auditorium today and those who listen to this voice as believers can have victory and joy and peace and contentment. And for those who've yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they could do that right now. We pray that they will realize the importance of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior and Lord this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.